Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's April 22nd. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. I've got four briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First, the U.S. House passed a set of aid bills for foreign wars on Saturday. That split the Republican Party in two. Democrats, though, celebrated. But amidst the partisan squabbles and celebrations is an unexpected reflection for us this morning from an Indian tribal leader. He says that they are all missing the point. We will discuss that in a bit. Second, the U.S. Senate passed a bill about domestic spying on Saturday. A bipartisan group of senators, though, say that that is just full of dramatic and terrifying new surveillance powers. We will dig into that debate. Third, we've got an update on Israel's attack on Iran that happened last Friday. Plus, New York City rabbis are warning Jewish students there this morning to flee Columbia University because of leftist and Muslim violence. Fourth, we've got warnings from the leaders of the FBI, CIA, and DHS about China. We will talk about their message last week and what the coordination of it probably means. Later, we close out with some good news. Two pieces of medical news to talk about, plus the latest out of the Solomon Islands and our battle for the Pacific. But before we get to that, let's get to our top stories of the morning. It was a busy weekend in Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen. First, the U.S. House passed a set of aid bills on Saturday that will fund a series of foreign wars or prepare for those that might come. The $95 billion worth of aid packages will fund a bunch of military operations or war material for the countries of Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the Indo-Pacific region. The bills will now go on to the Senate, which will take them up likely tomorrow. The upper chamber will then likely vote on Thursday or Friday on the whatever bills ultimately come through the committees and such. Passage is expected, and Mr. Biden has signaled that he will sign all of them. Although I should tell you, Saturday's vote in the House caps a stunning reversal for Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson. As you may recall from Friday's brief, Mr. Johnson had previously refused to consider war aid for Ukraine unless and until Mr. Joe Biden and Democrats agreed to address the collapsed southern border. And that is actually what most Americans very much want. Polling shows that most conservatives and independents in this country do not want more war aid for Ukraine, but the vast majority of Americans do want Congress and the White House to focus on the southern border. For example, about 64% of us want Mr. Biden to deploy the military to our southern border states to gain operational control and start deportation operations. But nevertheless, this morning, it is the foreign wars that have the priority. Now, for critics like Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, that foreign priority is just wrong. She and others say that the border is vastly more important. In fact, she and others are flagging this. One of the new bills that was passed over the weekend is likely going to open the southern border even more. That is because it includes hundreds of millions of dollars for nonprofit groups who assist migrants or refugees. Now, to be fair, it's unclear this morning if that money is just for Ukraine's refugees or all foreign refugees or migrants. I'll keep you posted on that. Pretty important. Another point of criticism from Ms. Taylor Greene and others is that there is no legal demand that the White House audit where all of these billions of dollars are going. Rather, the Biden administration is simply encouraged to audit and track where those funds end up. And that, of course, would leave these monies open to fraud, waste, and abuse. Well, those critiques aside, the aid bills will march forward. In fact, the Pentagon is already packing up the first batch of war material to Ukraine. That will depart next weekend if the bills advance. Again, I should say that that is not guaranteed. If 41 Republican senators say no to any of the bills this week, they will be sunk. And that is certainly possible, but it is unlikely. One final thing to note before we move on. Speaker Johnson said over the weekend that he has suddenly evolved in terms of his support for Ukraine because of two things. First, he said that he got some new secret intelligence briefings by Mr. Biden's CIA about Ukraine. So here's what he said about that. Quote, "I really do believe the intel. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might even go to the Baltics next. I think he could even have a showdown with Poland or one of our other NATO allies," end quote. Now, to be very clear, neither Mr. Johnson nor the Biden White House have ever shared any of those classified or otherwise details to help make the case. We are simply supposed to take what they say on faith. Second, and as the New York Times has noted, Mr. Johnson changed his mind about Ukraine because he was briefed on all of the misery, the death, and the sacrifice of Ukraine's soldiers. And that apparently pulled at his heartstrings because he is a devout Christian. And that is leading some of his fellow Christians and Americans to ask this morning, well, what about us? And that is especially true of Mr. Jeffrey Stiffarm. He serves as the president of the Fort Belknap Indian Community in Montana. He testified to Congress that the Mexican Sinaloa cartel is now operating on reservations throughout the state of Montana and the upper Midwest, and it is destroying his people. Quote, "The cartels know that we are short-staffed, underfunded, undertrained, and outnumbered. They are preying on our people, our children, and especially our women. They get a foothold in, and they're here. We can't remove them," end quote. Mr. Stiffarm was later asked what he thought of the war aid packages that are now giving cash and priority to foreign nations, all while the southern border is open and Mexican cartels are ravaging communities like his. They spend $95 billion to kill people overseas, but Congress and the White House can't spare pennies to save their own people on reservations like mine being ravaged by the cartels, end quote. So that assessment by Mr. Stiffarm matches the brief that I gave you about cartel operations on Indian reservations. We discussed that back on April 9th. So with those quick facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. I'll give you three things to consider this morning. First, about 2 weeks ago, Ukrainian commander of their ground troops, his name is General Alexander Pavlyuk, he said this, quote, "No matter how much help we get from the Americans or the Europeans, no matter how many weapons we get, we lack people," end quote. So his point, of course, is that the foundational problem that his country faces is not about weaponry. It is the lack of soldiers. And not once in the past 2 weeks have I heard the White House, the Pentagon, the CIA, a senator or representative acknowledge that Ukraine needs a massive influx of soldiers. It is not about the weapons. So why haven't we heard about that? It's very curious. Instead, all we are hearing is that Putin is Hitler and he is going to march into Poland or Germany or the Baltics. And now Speaker Mike Johnson is saying the same thing. So is that true? I don't know. Nobody is making the case. Nobody is declassifying the intelligence. Instead, we are sending off billions and billions in aid with the promise of just trust us. And that sounds a lot like the argument that we heard 20 plus years ago from my former CIA colleagues that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction when clearly they did not. Which takes me to the second point. If the intel does exist, they got to show it. They got to prove it. But I tell you, if they give us that opportunity, we're going to have to be very careful as we evaluate it. So for example, we are going to need to look at and ask about degrees of confidence in this intelligence. And that could be low, medium, or high. We would also need to talk about and understand the exact sources of this information, whether they be human, electronic, or otherwise. We would also have to explore whether or how all of these various sources have been properly vetted. Also, when, where, and how these sources underwent something that are called ops tests. And folks, I would be asking those questions and more because I know how important this is. I'm a former CIA officer who knows good intel from bad. I also know how the CIA and the White House play games. I know when and how my former colleagues, and again, the folks at the White House, twist and misuse intel. But a lot of folks don't. And that includes people on Capitol Hill. And maybe Speaker Johnson. I don't know. But gosh, if you don't have this background, you are going to get played just like they did over 20 years ago with Iraq and WMD. But in this case, it's ultimately a war with Russia. Those are nightmarish stakes that we got to get right. In short, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Biden and Mr. Johnson, they have to put up the intel for scrutiny or they have to shut up. Third and finally, let's talk about that Indian leader in Montana. Wonderful man, great name, Mr. Stiff Arm. His testimony, his statements were powerful if you watch them. The collapsed southern border has led to his people and his lands being absolutely decimated by Mexican cartels. And he is watching that as he is watching $100 billion in aid flow abroad to try to fix those foreign places. And he doesn't understand that. He watches the death and the destruction of his home while his government lets in even more people that are destroying it over the border. And he's really angry about that. And I suspect that based on polling, a whole lot of you are as well. What I think I'm hearing from him and from you is that we've got a political class in Washington, D.C. that is so disconnected from the people and the suffering of this nation that they obviously don't care quite enough to do anything about it. And perhaps most outrageously this morning, Speaker Johnson said that his heartstrings are being pulled at by Ukraine's suffering. And that's perfectly normal and fine. But what about the people in Montana and beyond? What about the cartels who are pumping in so much fentanyl that if you were under the age of 45 right now in this country and you die, odds are that it is from Mexican and Chinese fentanyl? What about that? Folks, I will offer you that that kind of scenario leads to outrage that, if left unattended, feeds not just anger by people like Mr. Stiff Arm or perhaps you all, but ultimately violent revolt. At least that's what I've seen when I've traveled and operated abroad. So I'll tell you, let's do what we can do to avoid that kind of fate and that kind of outcome. If you do not support the war aid going to Ukraine, go to senate.gov, find your two senators and call them, email them, register your views. Because the noise that you create might not change the ultimate vote, but it is going to make people in D.C. nervous if enough of y'all do it. And I think that's what we need right now. We need the people to speak, and the powerful need to be left feeling a little anxious about the volume of your voices. More to come. Next up, it was not just the U.S. House that had a pretty busy weekend, lots of division. The U.S. Senate was pretty busy, too. They passed a new warrantless spying bill. Listeners might recall the debate about this. It's called Section 702 of the FISA Act. As a quick refresh, that allows the federal government to collect and review things like phone calls, text messages, and emails of people abroad, but it also captures that same material of U.S. citizens, too. Then the FBI, CIA, and NSA can use all that information, to include yours, to further investigate without a warrant. And that is wrong, says one side of this debate. That would include civil libertarians and Democrat senators such as Ron Wyden of Oregon, plus some Republicans too, like Senator Mike Lee of Utah. They argue that if the federal government wants to spy on private communications of Americans like you, they have to get a warrant, deal with a judge, just as our founders intended. But on the other side of this debate are the supporters at the CIA, FBI, and a whole bunch of others, Republican and Democrat alike. They say that the judges and the warrant process just slow down these investigations, and that ultimately jeopardizes human lives. Well, those critics say, well, the delay is kind of the point. The federal government should be slowed down, all to prevent surveillance abuses. But nevertheless, the bill passed the Senate on Saturday. Mr. Biden signed it that same night. And now we will see who's right about this big old debate. But the critics noting, I should say, that the final bill that was authorized and then signed by Mr. Biden, it was even worse than they expected. It actually expands the number of businesses and people that can be forced to spy on their fellow Americans. Now, the attorney general says, don't worry about it. He and the FBI will use all their new authorities with great care. But as ever, that comes down to the question, do you trust the federal government to use these powers to protect you or to police you inappropriately? That is the question, and we shall see. And with that, let us take our first break of the morning. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks. You are about to hear from a new partner of mine, MD Hearing Aids, plus the good folks at Factor Meals. We'll be right back. About 3 months ago, I got my dad to do me a favor. He tried a hearing aid from mdhearingaid.com. Now, he didn't want to exactly, because like a lot of men, he said he didn't need them, but he kind of did. And that's because, like a lot of working men and women, he spent his life farming, ranching, and logging, and decades of that really harmed his hearing. So he did me a favor. He tried the Neo XS model from MD Hearing. And folks, it dramatically improved his quality of life. He could finally turn down the TV instead of running the family out of the living room. He could enjoy supper at restaurants with us and actually hear the conversations and participate. And the best part for him was that nobody could tell he was wearing them. That was his big fear, that the hearing aids would be these big old clunky things, and that just wasn't the case. So if you or a loved one have worked the fields in the factories of this country and your hearing has suffered as well, do what my family did. Go to shopmdhearing.com and try out one of their four models for a 45-day risk-free trial plus 100% money-back guarantee. And when you use promo code TWR, like The Right Report, you can get one of their new pairs for only $297 plus a free extra charging case, which is $100 value. Again, folks, I'm telling you, go to shopmdhearing.com, use that promo code TWR, and pick the model that suits your budget, because I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. Again, that's shopmdhearing.com. Folks, why is the food from factormeals.com so daggone delicious? I don't know. It's a mystery. Magic? Meh. I suspect it's because the stuff is delivered fresh to your door every single time, never frozen. But whatever it is, factormeals.com is the best meal delivery service in this country, hands down. Folks, they've got juices, shakes, and smoothies. They've got breakfasts, lunches, dinners, with more than 35 different meal options to choose from. You truly can't go wrong. I have tried virtually every one of their meals, including the vegetarian one on accident. And to be honest, I did add some beef because I'm not a bird. But still, it would have been really good even without that beef. So, folks, go to factormeals.com today and get 50% off your first box of food, plus 20% off your next box. But make sure you use factormeals.com/right50 when you log into that place. That's W-R-I-G-H-T 50, and you're going to get that 50% off your first box. Again, use promo code right50 at factormeals.com, and I promise you, folks, your taste buds and your belly are going to love you for it.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pair.com.
Welcome back to The Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with a mix of domestic and international news. On Friday, you may recall that I mentioned the breaking news about Israel's counterstrikes against Iran. I've got an update for you about that, plus why the war in Gaza is pushing Jewish students off a major college campus in New York City. So let's begin with what we know about Israel's strikes inside of Iran. Two things. First, they were very limited in terms of their nature and their scope. Perhaps 10 or fewer missiles and drones in all. You compare that to the hundreds of Iran's munitions that were used just a week prior. Second, the targets that Israel hit inside of Iran were clearly chosen to send a very pointed message. So let me give you one example of that. The New York Times and others are reporting this morning that the Israelis struck Iran's missile defense system using an otherwise secret Israeli weapon that managed to evade Iran's missile tracking capabilities. The message was obviously that if Tehran ever chooses to strike again, Jerusalem can hit back before the Iranians even know it's coming. So, in short, folks, the upshot is this. Israel got what they needed, which is to send a message to Tehran, while Iran, they accomplished their goals too. The world now knows they are willing and able to strike Israel directly. And those are some pretty big changes, certainly for the Middle East, but ultimately the world. We will see how that plays out down the road. Meanwhile, and on a related note, let's talk about the evolving protest and the violence on America's college campuses regarding this war in Gaza. Pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian supporters continue to target Jewish students at Columbia University this morning. As I shared with you on Friday, supporters of the Palestinian cause, which includes leftists, Muslims, and Arabs, they're camping out on the university's quad. They're protesting the war in Gaza, and sadly, they are targeting Jewish people who attend that school. The pro-Hamas supporters, by the way, include activists like the daughter of the Marxist representative Ilhan Omar, plus dozens of kids from some pretty wealthy American families. The New York Post conducted a review over the weekend of some of the lead organizers of these protests at Columbia, and virtually all of them are Marxists, or virtually all of them hail from very rich, super rich families, actually, in the United States. And it is they who are leading the chants this morning on Columbia's campus, telling Jewish students and their families to go back to Poland or European countries. That is obviously a very clear reference to the Second World War and the Holocaust. These threats and these chants, by the way, are now prompting a rabbi at Columbia University to tell Jewish students that they must depart that school and do so quickly to seek safety. He flagged that the leftist and Muslim protesters were chanting not only for the destruction of Israel and the death of America, but, quote, "Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too," end quote. They then encouraged Hamas to target Jews in New York City. Well, with those facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. And I want to focus this morning on the protests in New York City. Folks, what we now know, indeed what is well established, is that there is a deeply organized leftist movement in this country, and it is collaborating with the radical Islamic movement in this country, and they're on the march. In fact, I wrote about this years ago, back in 2018, when I was a Democrat. And folks can actually read this in the transcripts. I exposed the key organizing documents of what is called the Democrat Socialists of America and what they were up to, what their goals were. And I demonstrated that it was a political, cultural, and economic revolution. And they were up to that 6 years ago. I then went on national TV and I tried to warn my then fellow Democrats of what was happening and that it had to be stopped soon, but it didn't. Instead, I got pushed out of the Democrat Party, and the left chose to instead embrace Marxists and anti-Semites like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and that wonderful Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now, in the years since that went down, back in 2018, that Marxist movement that I documented has only sped up. In fact, polling over the past couple of years show that Democrats now, they embrace socialism and communism more than capitalism. But I have to emphasize, it is not just about our economic or even our political system that they just really hate. It's a cultural revolution as well. Case in point, polling continues to show that Democrats have decreasing pride in America. In fact, those same polls show that they hate this country because they say it is controlled by men, Christians, Jews, straight people, and most especially, white folks. And being any one of those things, the left argues, well, that's just bad and has to be destroyed. In other words, folks, the left right now in this country is pulling a page from the Marxist revolution that we saw in China about 60-some years ago. Now, back then, Chairman Mao focused on destroying what he called the olds, right? Those were the old ideas, the old customs, the old culture. Mao and his supporters said that the olds had to be destroyed in order to create the new, the socialist utopia. And now, some 60 years later, that is the path of this modern America. Again, polling shows that Democrats and leftists who are working this morning with these radical Islamists, they are working very hard to get rid of the olds. Again, that includes the Jews in places like Columbia University. So that is, yes, why they chant things like death to Israel. But it is also why, in the same breath, they chant death to America. It is a chant about a Marxist revolution. And if that isn't obvious by now to a lot of people, it will be. I tell you, I have studied this threat. I have written on it, and I'm going to continue to make the case using facts and data, because their promise of destroying the olds of America, it is not some academic threat for some period in the future. It's here, right now. In fact, this morning, it is on the campus of Columbia University, and it is also reaching into the halls of power in Washington, D.C. It is that serious, and we are going to address it accordingly. More to come. And speaking of China and the Marxist threat, we've got some fresh threat assessments from the heads of the FBI, CIA, and Department of Homeland Security this morning. And the upshot is that China is on the march inside of the United States. We begin with the FBI Director Christopher Wray, who said again last week that China has infiltrated our critical infrastructure with things like water, electrical grids, and pipelines under attack and under their control. Quote, they have the ability to physically wreak havoc on our critical infrastructure at a time of their choosing. They are waiting for just the right moment to deal us a devastating blow, end quote. The goal, as ever, would be to wreak havoc and create anarchy in this country during, say, a key election or in the hours just before an invasion of Taiwan were to begin. Next, we also got a warning last week from the CIA director that the China threat is profound and that we need to, quote, get our act together in this country in terms of both economic resiliency and our politics, end quote. He was referring to more domestic supply chains and less squabbling on Capitol Hill and the White House about how serious the China threat really is. Third and finally, Joe Biden's Director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE, also said last week that China is largely refusing to take back the record numbers of Chinese illegals who have crossed the southern border over Mr. Biden's past 3 years in office. The ICE director noted that while it is true that Beijing did take one flight of illegals recently, they are otherwise unwilling to take back any more. He did not share, however, why that might be. With those quick facts and data, let me offer you this analysis and opinion. Well, about a month ago, you may recall that I briefed you all on a letter that the Biden White House sent to all 50 U.S. governors telling them that hackers from both Iran and China had infiltrated our critical infrastructure, especially water. Now, as I shared with you, my belief is that the White House did this because they know or believe that they are not either able or willing to stop China. And they want to be on the record right now saying that they tried to warn us repeatedly, including with those governors. It's a, how shall I say this? Cover your backside when lives are eventually lost. And so that is what I think happened last week when we've got the CIA, FBI, and DHS fella, the ICE director, saying all the same things, more or less at the same time. So as ever, folks, my counsel to you is be prepared. Not panicked, just prepared. And you should be prepared for about a 3 to 4 week period where there is no municipal water and limited food and power. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude this morning's intense episode of The Right Report. But I got one more thing before I let you go. Some good news to balance out the heaviness of this morning. And we are going to do that right after we get a couple of great messages from American Hartford Gold and Ghostbed. We'll be right back. In the coming weeks, you are likely to hear even more headlines about leaders in both the U.S. and Europe starting to seize Russian assets. They're going to do it to pay for the war in Ukraine. We spoke of this back in early January with the very clear effects on the U.S. dollar and our pocketbooks. So if you are looking for ways to diversify your investments, and we should, consider physical gold and silver and consider American Hartford Gold as you do. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they will explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver. And feel comfortable using American Hartford Gold as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that is 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Just text WRIGHT, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, WRIGHT to 65532. Man, that is easy. Again, that's WRIGHT 265532. And when you do, folks, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first order, all depending on your total purchase. So again, give them a call at 866-353-2694 or text my last name, WRIGHT, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver with American Hartford Gold. It's a good morning, but we need to talk about tonight. And that is because, as ever, you need a good night's sleep tonight, and you're going to get that with Ghostbed. Yes, it's the company that I think makes the finest mattresses in all of America. And you all know that's true because I own one. I had the Lux model. But they've got those other great options too, like the classic, the massage bed, yes please, and also one for your RV. But no matter what model you choose from, you gotta get one of these things. The mattresses are built with high quality materials and fine craftsmanship, and you are gonna feel both when that thing is delivered right to your doorstep. As always, they have a 101-day trial period with free returns. So folks, get yourselves a Ghost Bed and get 50% off when you do. Go to ghostbed.com/right, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and get 50% off your Ghost Bed purchase. Again, that's ghostbed.com/right, and get ready, because once that bed arrives, you are going to be off to a great night's sleep. I guarantee it. Welcome back to The Right Report with one more thing before I let you go. It's some good news for us this morning after a pretty heavy start to our week. Well, we begin with some good news out of Germany about a set of research and a substance produced by a plant called blessed thistle that has been used as a home remedy for digestive problems, amongst other things, for centuries, actually. But German researchers believe that at the right doses, it could be beneficial for nerve regeneration. And if so, that would be quite something, as the healing process for nerves is usually very lengthy and often impossible because the little nerve axons or the nerve fibers take so long to grow and reconnect. But after a period of study in Germany, the researchers discovered that the active ingredient in that blessed thistle can actually speed up the nerve healing process. Plus, better news, it works when consumed by mouth, not just injection. And that is, of course, far easier for patients to use. The researchers emphasized, though, that the dosing has to be just right. Too much or too little, and the effects are nil. And that is why they will be focused on the dosing for future studies. But in the meantime, they said, it is a note of hope for those who either suffer from neuropathies or, in some cases, even paralysis. More to come. Next, a fascinating study about how artificial intelligence is catching up to the abilities of eye doctors. Researchers at the University of Cambridge in the UK explored whether AI systems can perform as well as human doctors in identifying and treating eye problems. Now, that in and of itself isn't necessarily groundbreaking, but they added a twist. They compared AI to junior doctors and then a third group of senior doctors. Then they asked all the groups about some of the more obscure eye problems that aren't readily discussed on websites or medical journals. In other words, the AI should have been at a handicap when trying to diagnose an eye issue and offer a prognosis. But that's not what they found. The AI systems, specifically the one that used ChatGPT-4, beat out the junior doctors and most of the experienced doctors as well, although that latter group did pretty good. The most seasoned ophthalmologist did manage to edge out the computer by just a whisker. In other words, AI is a wonderful tool that right now supports medical providers, but it does not replace them. At least not yet. More to come. Finally, let's switch gears to some good news about the national security front. And this has to do with our battle for the Pacific. Vote counting continues this morning in the Solomon Islands. The elections were held last week, but due to so many isolated little islands out there with tiny little villages, vote counting in the Solomons usually takes about a week. And we should have final results by probably Wednesday, but for now, you should know this. The anti-China politicians in the Solomons did pretty good. In fact, far better than what a lot of observers had anticipated. And that, of course, will come as bad news for the current prime minister, Mr. Sogavare. He is very pro-China. Now, that does not mean that he's not going to be able to pull out a squeaker and take back power. He still could. And we'll see, but it does mean that his anti-China opposition is going to have a much easier path to throw him out if they can squeeze out just a few more seats in Parliament. So, fingers crossed, and I'll keep you posted. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.
Hold up. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.